trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay, Sit and Stay, 82 feet above sea level at Intergalactic K9 Studios. We loosen your leashes, unlatch your cage doors, and distract your handlers to keep a shock collar of statism from being clamped down on your neck. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Phil?
And oh, I can feel it.
Oh, yes. Feeling.
All right. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we are back once again. It is Sunday night. I am Jeremy. I'm joined by Phil and Braden. And Michael supposedly will be along at some point. He said he was going to be running late, but you know,
he is running indeterminably late.
Yes, exactly. But you know he can't stay away because Sunday's he's always itching to talk after being having no show to do since Wednesday night.
But Wyoming's like solitary confinement, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think he likes it that way. Although I can't really blame him. I kind of miss that type of living too. I mean, I grew up in a town of less than 200 people in the mountains of Pennsylvania. So,
well, he can just do what I do. Just talk to himself.
Yeah, I do that. Well, I indirectly talk to myself. Well, I talk to myself, but I have dogs around, so I act like I'm talking to the dogs a lot. But really, I'm just doing it to keep myself sane, because I do spend a large portion of my day just me and a bunch of dogs.
Yeah. I talk to myself regularly, whether or not there are people there. And just a little bit of advice: when you tell yourself to stop talking to yourself, it doesn't make you seem any less weird to the passerbys. I've noticed this on the faces that I've seen.
Yes. Yeah. I can imagine. Well, it's kind of like you're recognizing the voices and you're speaking to them, basically.
It's only crazy if you respond.
Yes. Well, isn't saying it out loud kind of a response? I guess that's why they think you're crazy, Phil. Can't really blame them, you know. I'm sure. I mean, I do the same thing. I mutter myself all the time.
Shut up. Don't talk to yourself. Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah. So Braden, how are you? You made it just in time. What was going on?
I did. I reset my computer, so at the very last second I realized I didn't have sort of any of the Fiend phone settings that I needed, but looks like I made it just in time.
Yeah, literally saved by the warning bell. Like you logged.
Yeah, pretty much. Last second.
We're going live. That was pretty nice. Yeah, you should save all the stuff in the address book. It makes things so much easier. Then you never have to.
Definitely. The thing about that is, though, you can't go deleting your address book because you'll end up in the same situation I did.
Oh, you did.
That is an issue.
Yeah, that'll do it. Well.
Yeah.
I'm dreading the upcoming reformat that I'm going to have to do because. Yeah, that's going to break a lot of things. But by the way, I'm going to be a little presumptuous tonight and pull a Michael and tell you to turn your level down just a little bit because you're driving out Murder Dog a little.
Sure thing. I can go right down to here.
There you go. Thank you. I can't see levels, so that makes it much better.
All right.
So now that we're all sounding much better.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking before the show, obviously before you got there, Braden. Phil, what was that one story we were talking about that you said would be interesting? It was the there was the one about the Spicer. Is that the guy's name? I keep wanting to call him different things because you called him Spencer before.
Yeah, I do too.
The guy from the White House.
Right. Yeah, he's the spokes guy.
He's the new Jay Carney, right? That's basically the press secretary. Is that his job? Is that basically what this guy is? Because I keep seeing him everywhere.
Yeah. It might just be easier to call him Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, yes. See, it's funny. I don't watch a lot of SNL. I haven't watched SNL in years, but I did happen to catch, and I rarely even watch the clips and stuff, but I watched that, and that was pretty darn hysterical.
I only watched a little bit of it, and I don't know. It just didn't grab me. But it's a lot easier than trying to remember Spicer versus Splicer versus Spencer or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, so anyway, apparently
whatever the guy's name is,
right? Yeah, But apparently apparently he came out saying that he was going to not he's expecting the White House to essentially crack down on legal marijuana in states like Washington, where I live, and Colorado. So
anywhere where it's been legalized, I hate that word, but legalized recreationally, right? That was the deal. They were still going to be hitting those states, essentially, which is...
Right, yeah, recreational only. Yeah. And apparently they're still fine with medical, but yeah, who knows? And even though there's a poll saying like 71% of Americans are... Well, actually, it doesn't specify. I should have read closer. But oppose enforcing federal law against legal pot. So
they're obviously in the places where it's already legal, or just in general. Because I'm curious what the wording of that question. But yeah,
in the states, in the specific states.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As long as it's not against the law, we're okay with that type of attitude. But
right.
But I mean, sorry. Go ahead.
As long as my slightly more local master says it's okay.
Yeah, true.
How dare
course.
You?
Of course. Well,
I'd like to see him try, man. The pot industry out here is booming, and everyone loves it. And I just think that cat is way too far out of the bag at this point for it to get back in there ever.
Oh yeah, no, they'll be peeing in the wind. They're not going to make much headway.
Awesome. Yeah, I would agree that they're definitely. I mean, I've seen a couple of people argue that there's no way feasible for them to be able to afford to do that type of stuff because what they'd be up against because the backlash and just the fact that there's so many people doing, you know, trying to create businesses in the states where it's become legal, mm-hmm. which, you know, I don't blame them for. But this makes sense to me, of course, because look who's the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. What was his line about marijuana? Good people don't smoke marijuana.
Right.
Is this a bunch of hot air like the wall and everything else he's talked about? Like, that's the impression I get.
Well, see...
Oh, you mean Mexico's not really going to pay for it?
Yep, we're going to build a thousands of mile long wall, and we're not going to pay for it. Yep,
oh my
that's
God.
What's going to happen.
My universe has been shattered. How's this? Yeah.
Well, you know, it's the American dream.
And we're also going to get rid of pot in Colorado, so...
Well,
I mean, Colorado was... They couldn't enforce it when Colorado was against...
Well, that's true for everywhere.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, even especially there. I mean, Boulder. You hear the fables of Boulder and their giant cloud of nothing but pot smoke over the football fields. And
yeah, I live in Boulder, so I can vouch.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. Seen the. I've seen the festivals. I've seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you drive in. It's fabulous how you can drive into Denver. I just recently moved out and I drove across the United States, and mm-hmm. part of that I visited a friend of mine in Denver, and it's like the entire city just smells like pot. It's great.
I don't know if it's quite that way from my experience, but
well, you're probably decent.
You know, you definitely can't drive a mile without seeing a store of some kind.
Oh yeah, in the district that I was driving through, it was like Starbucks. There was weed on every block.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
as it should be.
Right. Come to Colorado, folks. Well,
as it is anyway, just not out in the open.
This is true.
But yeah, I will say that the market and you hear this, I think, in the news or various sources, the market in Colorado is a lot better than the market in Washington. And I think mm-hmm. it's because the Washington market is more strongly regulated than the Colorado market is. And it really shows.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as the federality is doing anything, I don't know. I you know, you bring up whether it's just them pretty much talking like anything else. I mean, pre-election, I understand that, you know, obviously people say anything to get elected, and then once it happens, but usually, at least when they, I mean, maybe if Trump had come out and said it, it would be have more weight, I guess, because this little, whatever his name is, I just want to call him one of the Spice Boys now at this point. But if he's the one out there saying that he thinks that this is what they're going to do, I mean, like I said, it makes sense with Sessions' position on it and the way he's handled things overall.
Oh yeah, honestly, I think the complaints about it are completely overblown. I don't think anything's going to actually come out of it as far as that's concerned. But it does, because when Trump was elected, I was a bit worried about it because of who he was picking, you know, with Sessions and Pence. Like, just him having those two in the positions where they were, that already had me selling my marijuana stock. Like, I had stock in cannabis, and I wanted to get out of it. Hmm. And I think it's like the day after that happened, Trump actually came out and he said something along the lines of like, yeah, I don't think we should be really messing with those states that have medical marijuana, you know, just let them be or whatever. And the stock that I just sold doubled overnight, and it was great. Yeah. But it also does seem to have responded to the Spicer quote. So,
well, because the Trump quote was about medical, and here he is specific, you know, Spicer comes out and they're specifically now saying, well, yeah, we're still going to target the recreational ones. Right. So I don't know, for me, I guess it, just the pessimist in me, I look at that and go, oh, that's just the perfect way for Trump to get for the things to get done and Trump to be safe in what he said. Well, I didn't say anything wrong, you know, I only specified about that, and just people got excited, people who were going to get happy about that did and didn't really think past that. So,
you know, I heard Trump was all about, you know, making jobs and things like that, so if he tries to shut down pot here, you know, we're going to lose
you
all
and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. So we're back, and in the last segment we were talking all about how the federales want to come after your weed, man, unless they're threatening to.
You know, last year they wanted to come after our guns. Now they want to come after our weed. What's going on, man?
Next year is going to be the movie. They're just going to up and outlaw it. You know,
it's like they're listening to the show.
You know, so, what? I always hope that people are listening to these to our different shows, because, you know, maybe they'll learn something. I don't know.
Yeah, one would hope. This is a teaching hospital after all, right?
Exactly. So hopefully one of these people will pick up something.
We were talking about how suddenly Spicer is talking about, he didn't mention medical. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, he did. But so he's like, well, you know, medical's okay, but we're going to crack down on illegal drugs, like, you know, the recreational. So they're sort of gearing themselves back into this safe space conservatism, and which is a headline that I saw on Reason that I thought was kind of entertaining, was CPAC 2017 mostly a safe space for establishment conservatism. And I think this is after that Milo thing that happened, because they're all into saying things that offend liberals as much as possible, but you can't step outside the script, man. Come on.
Fiend phone.
Looks like we have a
This is the Fiend Phone, unnecessary random re-education interruption exigency service, or furries. Hey, y'all.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, now.
And good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm ready to say it before you even ask. I'm good. Am I too loud? Am I too quiet?
Well, Phil's the one who's watching levels over there. What do you think?
Yeah, you seem pretty level to the others.
All right.
I'm sure.
Right. I've been a little distracted by the road pirates that are driving by, though.
Thank you, what?
I was about to say, thank you, voice of God, who just came in and said that he said we sound good.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So. He sounds good, and then he walks away from the mic. Excellent technique, ladies and gentlemen.
Awesome. That was a great series.
I was about to say, do as I say, not as I do.
You suddenly got a little bit quiet there.
Well, I was across the room, you know, because, like, I'm in Wyoming, and it's like solitary confinement. That's our state motto. Welcome to Wyoming. It's like solitary confinement. Self-imposed.
Yeah. Right. It's like North Dakota. The state motto is the last state you visit.
Yellowstone is in Wyoming, so it's actually one of the first states a lot of people visit. But I'm on the east side of the state. That's the west side. I'm on the east side, which looks like the moon with sagebrush.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, to get the real meaning of a fortune cookie, you're supposed to add in Wyoming at the end of it. So I just opened one. It says, your place in the path of life is in the driver's seat in Wyoming.
Yeah, I prefer the in bed one. That makes it more entertaining for me.
I don't know if I should be depressed from that.
Okay, who?
Can't hear me over the chewing of your fortune cookie.
Mm-hmm.
I said there's another version of that where you add the words in bed to the end of all of your fortunes, and it makes it.
I know that's more boring. That's old. That was funny when I was 12. I'm 52. I'm 52.
Yeah, well, I still act like I'm 12 largely, so you know what? It's still funny to me, Michael.
I can't believe Phil is statist against my state. Like, have you been here, Phil?
I have. I actually. Well, I mean, kind of. Not really. I drove through.
They're coming to take you away.
And I flew
for statism.
Yeah, the cops are going crazy over here right now. I don't know why. I think a crime.
Because you live in a gang-ridden area. You know, Wyoming is the only state in America that doesn't have gangs. Do you know that?
Really?
I mean, it has
posse.
It has a biker gang. It has a biker gang that has like 50 members, and I've seen two in the time I've been here. They're like, you know, they're not going to be a problem unless you rip them off in a drug deal. It's not like the kind of gang that just ruin your neighborhood. They're nice gangs. They're upstanding members of society.
So Michael. I've heard the Army has a station there.
What's that?
That's a pretty big gang.
Wait.
The Army has a station there in Laramie.
That gang. I meant private
gangs. Yeah, I see.
Wyoming is what's going to start World War III and end life as we know it. That's where most of the missile-powered nukes are in America.
Sweet.
Oh, in fact, the novel... Well, we'll talk
sounds
about
like
Boston
party.
Tea Party's novel about Wyoming secession when we get back.
Mm-hmm. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes loaded with hundreds of original funny sayings with great voices and great recording quality. It's arranged into 7 categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun, too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark, bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free. Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi, A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
say that.
So that's Lou's intellectual property, right?
Yep.
Woof.
It is. Yeah. You know that all this music is me, right, guys?
Oh, yes, Michael.
Yeah, I have to tell all the new hosts to impress them. Hey, Bitcoin's at over 2 cents again. Nice. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Hot diggity.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the little coin that would not quit, man. It's still like the 10th most profitable coin to mine. And, you know, of the 10th most profitable, 10 most profitable coins to mine, it's probably the easiest. It's probably got the lowest difficulty. Yeah. So there.
So I sent you like 80 cents the other day. Hopefully you got that.
Oh. Oh, for what?
Just because I had some extra bips laying around.
Thanks, man. You made a donation. Nice.
Extra bips.
I did.
I'll put it towards development. And
you should.
Of Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be enough to like next time we roll one out, that'll be enough to pay to correct the one tiny typo. That's in the Google wallet somewhere. Yeah, I'll pay my guy. Hey, here's another. How many did you send me?
I think I sent you like 40 bips.
Okay, so like, you know, 80 cents. I'll say, dude, here's another 80 cents. Fix that one tiny typo.
Yeah.
Fix that.
And then years from now, he'll look back and laugh at how valuable those bips are in the future.
Your children, you'll be teaching your grandchildren about Bitcoin, and you'll say, see this where there's no typo? That's all me. I built that.
Thank you.
I was able to retire on that typo.
I added that semicolon.
So
that was
me. We were talking during the break about, you know, somehow we went from talking about whether Phil's an actuary or a statistician, and is there really a difference? You know, what is it, like the difference between 2, 2, 3 and 5, 5, 6, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it's more than that, but I can see where that would be. The difference is actuaries get paid a lot more.
Let me ask you this. The guy in Fight Club, his job, it seems to me like he's an actuary combined with a couple other things that wouldn't all be the same person. Like, the guy who applies the formula would be the actuary. The guy who goes out and flies around the country and takes pictures of the wrecked cars, that wouldn't be the guy that applies the formula, would it?
I don't really know. I honestly don't know a whole lot about what actuaries do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So
as a professional architect, I'm going to say yes.
Okay. They're basically statisticians that work for insurance companies, as far as I know.
Right. Well, they're I would say they're probably more along the lines of probabilists.
Ah, okay. So it's not theoretical statistics. It's real statistics.
Well, probability is actually the theory behind statistics. So statistics is really just applied probability. And what I would say is actuary is a different version of applied probability.
Do you think that you have enough knowledge of probability that you could sit down with a really kick-butt computer programmer and design a program that would make money by predicting stock trades or, you know, which new cryptocurrency to bet on?
Possibly. So there's...
Really? Quit your job, dude. Let's do it. I'll find it. I know some people would work.
I've actually...
80 cents.
Well, I've actually been working on, off and on a Bitcoin price prediction algorithm, but it's one of those things, like, it's not really that simple, because there are so many factors that you can't really necessarily quantify that go into it. And
like
you
can
do
what Russia's doing today, or what China is doing today, or what India is doing with legality of cryptocurrencies today, or
right, or like the ETF
vomited out on his blog. He doesn't affect the price.
The price of Bitcoin is entirely reliant on what Steemit is doing.
Whether Jeff Berwick is a full-fledged flat earther that day, or just kind of like letting full-fledged flat earthers on his show and nodding and going yes when they
flat earthers. I could see that. That makes sense. That complete lack of science totally makes sense.
You know,
there's no reason thinking.
Okay, you know, there's this fact that he was involved in a land scheme that, say, 30 people lost their life savings in. You know about that, right?
Yes. Yeah, Gulch Gulch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was...
And there's three guys, and they all point the finger at each other. One of them has the money, at least.
Well, I think probably they all have a piece of the money, but I can tell you for almost absolute certain that Berwick was, like, one, if not the main scamming guy, con artist there.
Allegedly.
Certainly one of them.
Allegedly.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But the reason why is because the guy that he's trying to peg it on, that he's constantly been trying to just...
Which guy is that?
Ken Johnson.
Ken Johnson. I don't believe Ken Johnson's story either, but Ken is still there. I mean, he's, you know, he's still, like, trying to do stuff with it. And it supposedly trying to salvage it. And, you know, he's just as sketchy to me as Berwick is, but
did you know that there's another land scheme done by completely different people in the same country that's using the same name?
I believe I know the people you're referring to.
Like, I talked to the guy who's doing that when it started, before it was just something on paper, and I was like, you know, there's another thing called this, and he's like, yeah, I know. And I'm like, you really should change the name. And he's like, but I like the name. It's from a book. They didn't write the book. I'm going to use the name. Man, that's like saying, you know, Ponzi coin. I just like the way it sounds. That's what I'm going to call my cryptocurrency, you know. But
well, they're taking it back, you know. Like, people try to resurrect the Hitler mustache, you know.
So Phil and Braden Jasmine, because he is a jazz man. His last name is Jasmine, because his daddy was a jazzman. His daddy was a jazzman, right?
Happened to you?
Me? Oh, him?
No, not you, Braden.
He's doing jazz with buildings, man.
With buildings.
Yeah. He's writing his jazz.
Sweet jazzy love.
So do you guys know my personal experience with Berwick?
I believe I've heard you speak about it before on the podcast.
Okay, Phil, do you know?
I can't say I remember it.
Okay. I'll do it for Phil again. Even if Phil knew it, if you all knew it, I'd say it again, because I have to say this by the Feenster Union rules. Stop breaking things, whoever's knocking stuff around. By Feenster Union rules, I have to say this every 28 episodes, because there's new people all the time who've never heard it. So
definitely. They should go on the bingo card, too.
It should. It should, Berwick. Yes. Yeah, the bingo card's getting pretty big.
I'll get on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Miller, speaking of the union, in solidarity, we have to all hate Adam Kokesh now, because Kokesh fanboys got Miller a 1 week zucking, you know, kicked off of Can't Post on FaceBeast for 1 week. I've only ever had a 1 day and a 3 day. I don't know what he's had before, but he's got a 1 week, which is really severe, for calling himself a gutter faggot. And he's a gay man, and he called himself a gutter faggot. And fanboys of in a thread where he was making fun of Kokesh and talking about how Kokesh is an idiot, and also raised money, and then it disappeared. But
what money?
You know, in solidarity, we have to hate Kokesh even more, because his fans.
Wait, so he said a word about himself, and it just happened to be on the same thread that he was talking about Kokesh's deal, and they got him kicked.
And Kokesh fanboys were arguing with him, and he said that somewhere in the arguing with them, and they got him kicked.
Yeah, oh, what?
Just like Cantwell got me kicked for, I made a meme of, it was Cantwell doing a Sig Heil. It was basically Cantwell's face on Hitler's head, pointing out what a white nationalist idiot Cantwell is. Cantwell got me kicked for 3 days. Turn me in for Nazi imagery, because I used, you know, someone with a Sig Heil, making fun
of
him.
So both of these guys basically are pulling mollies on people.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Pulling mollies.
Man, you hate all the right people. You dislike all the right people for the Fiends already. I like it. So Berwick, about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, Berwick, you know, if you really want to hear something embarrassing of Berwick, go listen to the first, like, 10 episodes of of the Anarchast. They're such newly minted libertarian, like, oh, I'm, you know, they just sounded like a 10th grader who just found liberty and was like writing on his, you know, scribbling on his notebook in school. Also, the audio was horrible. So at one point, I said, hey, your audio's horrible and your video looks really bad. You know, why don't you pay me and I'll do some, you know, won't take many hours, maybe, you know, 6 to 10 hours of like, you know, I'll help you get up to speed and look and sound really good on your videos. And we went back and forth and back and forth. And finally, you know, there was an agreement and I started helping him. And that's why he sounds and looks really good. His video looks really good now and he sounds really good. You know, I basically, a lot of it was just teaching him to get a microphone up in front of his face. He was using like something on the camera or something on the desk. And, you know, gave him a whole bunch of other advice.
You'd think an old rapper would know better.
Yeah, an old Canadian rapper. I mean, hey, Snow sounded good. We should play that song. It needs more airplay. So I did all this work for him and finally, you know, was about 3/4 of the way through and I said, you know, I think I should invoice you for what I've done so far and gotten paid and then I'll keep helping you with more. And he said, invoice? What do you mean? I said, well, you know, you hired me to give you advice. And he's like, oh, I thought you were just doing that out of the goodness of your heart. And I spent a couple hours going through sending all of the emails proving that he'd hired me. And, you know, had to dig through a bunch of stuff, basically I had to dig through all of the, you know, doing the work for him, because I did some work for him free before I started charging. And even the podcast where I interviewed him and I said, this is Jeff Berwick. He's a guy who's hired me to do some work for him. Like, that was on record. And he finally said, well, I don't really remember it, but I'll pay you 2/3 of what you say I owe you.
What?
You know, yeah. And he did. He paid me 2. You know, if I didn't do it, he shouldn't pay me. But he paid me 2/3 of it. He admitted that I did it, but he tried to weasel out of it. He said he didn't have any money. That's the point. He's not rich.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
As Hubert Shelby Jr. told me,
bingo.
After I took the last hitting he did before he died. After the camera's off, actually, he said it on camera. It's in the movie. He said, we don't need more politicians. All we need is a couple of dancers going back and forth from Moscow to New York. And I couldn't agree more. I like that. So
nice.
Well, it couldn't hurt. That's how I look at that.
And a couple of filmmakers making films in Moscow that we see. We're going to talk later about the amazing film Hardcore Henry. I would have called it Hardcore Harry, though, as a tip of the hat to a couple things. One is the main character in every Hubert Selby book and story was Harry, pretty much. And secondly, Hard on Harry is the story that is the character played. What's that movie, that like pirate radio movie made by the guy who plays Mr. Robot's dad?
Is it not called Pirate Radio?
No, it's called
The Ship That Rocked.
Hard on Harry. Can I say that on radio? Hard on Harry. Pump up the volume.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the Christian Slater movie. Is that Christian Slater movie? Yeah. Okay, I remember that.
Great movie. Yeah. That's his radio character name in there is Hard on Harry or Harry Hard on. Runs an FM pirate radio station. So I was down in Colorado today. That's why I was late. I was helping Was it Colorado or Casper? I forget. But I was helping my cousin, Catch Newman, set up a
started with a C
community radio station at 99.1 FM. And, you know, I said, he was like, well, what should I put on here? You know, and I said, well, I think you should put on non-cussing, and I think you should put on Liberty Only, and I think you should put on a variety of stuff. And I think it should be non-cussing because, and I think you should try to make it sound as much like a commercial radio, talk radio station as you can. So when the nannies are channel flipping and they hear, you know, that station, they don't go, oh my God, they just swore, I have to turn this into the FCC. They probably just keep flipping because, you know, channel flipping. So, you know, it had like some Free Talk Live, some Freedom Fiends, some Professor CJ's Dangerous History podcasts that were edited for air that don't have any cussing, some Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and some Tom Woods. And Tom Woods is so square, you know, I don't listen to him. But I had to put it on there because Wyoming needs squareness to get its liberty. You know, the Freedom Fiends are going to scare those people. They're going to hear Tom Woods and go, this man's a Christian. He homeschools. He speaks respectfully. He wears a suit. I can tell from
the radio. He was a college professor.
He was a college professor. Yeah, so is Professor CJ, but he's freaky like us. Yeah, but so I put a bunch of that on there. So I was, go ahead.
If there's anybody you can trust, it's somebody from Kansas, right?
Yeah, yeah. he lives in Kansas.
He's not from Kansas.
Yeah, CJ's Florida. CJ's Florida man.
So is Tom.
Yeah, well, actually, both Tom Florida man in Florida now.
Yeah, he's not from Kansas. He grew up in Boston. He grew up in Massachusetts.
He's a Catholic. He's got to be from Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like up in this, you know, building with Cash Newman, like early. He was up in the attic of this building, like doing something for the radio antenna, adjusting it or something. And like, you know, asbestos was falling on me. But we were listening to what was broadcasting at the time to monitor it. And it was Tom Woods. And he was talking about, he said something about, you know, the cry-in at Cornell. And he was like dismissive, like, oh, and you know, these kids today, they have this cry-in like they had at Cornell. And I'm like,
wow.
Because, you know, I remember like in the 60s, they had, let's see, teach-ins, which were like where they'd get together and teach socialism or whatever. They had die-ins, which is where they still have those sometimes, where people go like, you know, lie in the street and look dead to protest something. But cry-ins. I thought they were kidding.
What about laugh-in?
Laugh-in. 60s TV show with communists. They're probably communists. Great show, though. Good show.
Yes.
Funny show. I remember
it. It was a funny show. Yeah.
Influenced my sense of humor. I was like 5. I liked it. I didn't get half of it. I mean, I don't know who Ehrlichman is. I didn't know who John Dean was. I thought he was my uncle when I heard him talk about him and Nixon. But... yeah, so we're going to talk about the cry-in at Cornell when we get back. I couldn't believe this. I couldn't believe there was such a thing. It sounds like if Saturday Night Live were run by me and Tom Woods, we'd write a skit making fun of today's students and have them do the cry-in, but they actually did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well...
Terrified state of education.
You've been to college, Phil. You can speak to this. Oh, so y'all been to college, Phil.
I went to college in Florida. It wasn't like this.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Jeremy. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Geese Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
I feel it.
Yeah. So we're back for the second hour. Jeremy,
good to be here.
Here with Michael, yes. And Braden and Phil. Yes. How was everybody?
Did you survive the break, guys?
Apparently. Yes.
I didn't hear them all yet.
I'm surviving and thriving, man.
Phil, huh? Phil, check in. Everyone here? All right. Well,
yes. Well, Braden, you're the one who pointed it out before. Now there's two Eeyores. Because Phil does that too.
Phil has the Eeyore vibe for sure.
What does it matter anyway?
Freedom fiends.
I'm here.
Good for late night radio. You don't want to wake people up while you're waking them up, you know?
Yeah, good point.
You're making them woke. We can make them woke in their sleep. That's how I think most of our listeners, they fall asleep listening to radio.
Hey, that's how I learned how to do, what is it, Brutus's Eulogy of Caesar, which is like really long. I learned how to do that by listening to it, a recording of my own voice, you know, saying it over and over and over again in my sleep, and I was able to do it for, you know, an English project that I, you know, recite
the
entire.
How long is it? Would it take the whole segment? Do it.
No, I can't do it anymore. I recited the entire thing from memory. It was crazy, though, but from learning in my sleep. So I could totally believe people would learn more if they just fell asleep listening to the Freedom Fiends.
They should.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe one of those days, just to get some people to sleep, one of us should read Goodnight Moon or something.
I hate that song, that book. I hate that book.
I've never actually read it.
Some Jeffrey Riggenbach from the Mises Institute. You know, put a bunch of those in there too. Diana Kyler, Freedom Fiends. You know, she voiced a bunch of the audio pamphlets about liberty on the Mises Institute website.
Cool. I do recall that. Yes.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of that on Cash's station, and there's a bunch of Jeff Riggenbach reading, you know, No Treason, things like that.
I prefer Jim Jesus doing Jeff Riggenbach.
Very distinguished and academic sounding. He smokes a pipe, not pot, tobacco. Like, he sounds like an academic who smokes pipe. He sounds great. I really like him. But yeah. So Cash Newman Station, the one he's working at now, is called, what is it called? Oh, WSTD. It says that on the transmitter because it came from back east. It was supposed to go in a town back east, but they couldn't find room for it somewhere. So it's WSTD, even though it should be KSTD out here. So we're going to call this episode We're All Cash Newman Now. Cash Newman is my cousin. He's kind of like, I'm the nice guy, and he's like the bad kid older brother. You know, he's like if you ever watched Leave It to Beaver, he's Eddie Haskell to my Beaver.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you want to learn more about Cash Newman, he wrote a book in the year 2000 called Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women. There's a PDF link of it in pretty much the last 15 or 20 episodes of the Freedom Fiends. So you can get it free.
Put it in again tonight.
Yeah. Just copy all the notes other than the specific to this episode note. Copy all of them. No, you don't. You usually do like 2/10 of it, 1/5 of it.
That's not true.
That's totally true.
Last week I got lazy.
We're going to call this... Last week I got laid. Therefore, I got laid.
Not lazy.
You can't say that on radio. So we're going to call this episode We're All Cash Newman Now. And the picture that I sent Jeremy is a cute young woman, probably in the 1950s, wearing a straw hat, overalls, and a gingham shirt, leaning up against a Nightcrawler vending machine that says worms, live worms. What did you think of that picture? You like it? I'd hit it. Yeah.
I think I know that girl.
I'd hit those worms.
I dig it, man.
So, you know, we're going to call it We're All Cash Newman Now. You know where that's sort of a meme, that phrase, we're all blank now. You know what that's from?
That's from Milton Friedman, wasn't it?
Oh, what'd he say? Oh, you're all a bunch of... No.
No, we're all Keynesians now.
Did he say that?
I believe so.
I recall something about that.
Okay, then the thing I know it from is parodied from that. It was either Time or Newsweek magazine about a month into Obama's first control of the world and the world's nuclear arsenal. What is it? First, you know, the first 4 years. His, what do you call it?
Term.
Session. Residency.
Term. Yeah. Yeah.
First season. That's more accurate.
The first season of Obama. There you go. The for like, you know, weeks into the first season of Obama, either Newsweek or Time, the cover of it said, "We're all socialists now." And it was a big, like, oh my God, seriously. You know, the amount of stuff that Obama did in his, like, in the first 6 months when I was still kind of like, ugh, I'm a libertarian, but politics can affect me, you know, before I just rose above it and put a, like, cloud of nanobots around me to protect me from the state like I have now all the time. And they also, like, you know, grow kratom in states where you can do that where the climate's good, and then they, like, fly it here and sprinkle it on me, on Cash Newman. But the fruit, like, I was horrified. Were you guys horrified by Obama, his first season? First half of his first season, I was. Then I gave up caring.
Well, Obama made me a libertarian.
Yeah, that's what pushed me. That's what pushed me down the road too. Because I, after the first year, it was a little longer than that. But like the first year, a little more. I was like, wait a minute. Why is what is all this stuff happening? And none of the stuff he said was going to happen. Yeah. I don't understand.
I thought by the end of his third term. You know, also then when they gave him the Nobel Peace Prize for just being the first black president. Actually, I found out the other day, it's supposedly, I really thought it was like, you know, a participation prize. I really thought.
No, he got it for that stupid paper he wrote, didn't he?
I thought he got it for like getting decommissioning some of the nuclear weapens. That's what I thought.
But I don't see how that was even possible.
I think that's revisionist history.
Yeah. Sorry. What? Didn't it happen before his presidency? I could have swore it happened because of something.
No, it was after.
I don't know, but
yeah, it happened either before or at the very, very beginning.
It was very early. Yeah,
yeah.
That what? That he got the Nobel.
That he received that award.
Yeah. And now, like the other day, I saw somewhere it said that he got it for decommissioning the nukes. But I think he decommissioned a couple nukes. I think he did that months after he got the Nobel Peace Prize.
I'm pretty sure.
Revising history.
Oh yeah,
it may have been that he had stated an intention to do so or something. I don't know, but
well, yeah, because it was awarded in October of the year he was elected. So like 9 months after he was in office, what did he actually do in those 9 months to be awarded?
All right, 9 months.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the selection process is done before that. He was awarded in October, so that means they usually have the selection done, I would assume, at least a month ahead of time and prepping for the whole thing, right?
I don't know. So this minutia of arguing of when it really happened is like, it should be at the footnote after this episode. It's not important to what I'm saying. I just pulled you guys into a wormhole with me, and you guys liked the worms and thought they were juicy, and I didn't, so I'm climbing out of it. so the way
that don't take us here if you don't want us to eat, man.
So
what the heck?
6 months into the wormness, the first season of Worm Obama, you know, I really believed that by his third term, and yes, I believed he would suspend elections and to have a third term, but 6 months in, I believed that by the third term, we'd all be, I didn't think we'd be living in FEMA camps, but because we're not useful all living in FEMA camps, I really thought we'd all be living in boxes running on treadmills powering the state with like nothing, you know, no guns, no fun, no liberty, just literally running on a treadmill naked to power, you know, to power Obama's sense of worth and fill him with steam and inflate him. I think
well, so
that's
now we're doing it for Trump.
Yeah, well, I think that's how, like, Trump has, it seems like he's literally done more that he's not allowed to probably morally or legally do. Like, he's done more in a month than Obama did in two terms, I think. And I can sort of understand why people who actually believe that government matters are probably wanting to have cry-ins. But this is my whole lead into, yes, in Cornell University, they had a cry-in. So let's talk about that a little bit. You guys got anybody got it pulled up? Okay, while you pull it up.
You know, I thought this was a safe space, Michael.
Right, while someone pulls that up, I'm going to talk about my family member. I won't say which family member it is, who has a PhD in social work from Cornell University, which actually the only job she could get with that was working at Cornell University on their staff, and had a tenured non-teaching position, and they eventually dissolved her position for financial reasons and kicked her out on the street, and she hasn't had a job for a couple of years, like, you know, nothing more than like temp work. Because
so what you're saying is the with a degree in social work, the job that you're looking for is layoff.
With a doctorate. Underline doc. Do you have a doctorate, Phil? How does that even exist?
Yeah, how does that even exist?
I had to Google it to make sure it did, because I was like, maybe she has a, you know, I mean, I know she used to be a school teacher. Maybe she has a PhD in education or something. And like, nope. I Googled her and the books she's written that sell like 300 copies and on Cornell Press and only end up in other college libraries. Like, nobody buys them from the public. So she has a PhD in social work, but she's the one I talked about recently who actually, when I found out I was 164th West African, when I got my DNA results back from 23andMe, I told my family about it. We have the same mother and father, so she has the same that I have. And she actually talked about, like, you know, filling out forms as that. She, you know, like, do you think I can put mixed race on forms? I never know what to write. And I'm like, look in the mirror. I literally said that. She's whiter than me, and I'm the whitest kid you know. And she actually, until I talked her out of it and told her about Elizabeth Warren and that NAACP white woman, Rachel whatever Dolan, she was actually going to apply for things as mixed race. Man.
Wow.
Socialist.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bipcoin.org. That's Bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, Coin.org.
This article tonight that I've been working on for months, updating this article from like 4 years ago on how to do quote unquote what do they call it? Community radio.
Allegedly.
Yeah, there we go. That has everything you need to know. It's also got downloads that I've made of zip files, probably like 2 gigs altogether of, like, I went through a bunch of Tom Woods and found the ones that didn't have horrible audio, you know, went through a bunch of Professor, you know, CJ, Prof CJ, Dangerous History, and took out the cussing, went through a bunch of other, like, basically it's, you know, you just drop it into a folder and play it, and it's your Liberty radio station. Bunch of Freedom Fiends. I would recommend if you put in some Free Talk Live, like the Free Talk Live would be the thing you'd have to update regularly. The other stuff is all timeless. The Free Talk Live is kind of like the daily newspaper of anarchy, so you'd kind of have to like have ones that are less than a week old, but just put it all on shuffle, and I'll put the link for the article in the, I've been working on this hard and buying things and experimenting. And then, you know, I don't keep it. I don't run pirate radio. I sold it all at a gun show to some Christians when I was done. But I do have some good, like, you know, make your own radio station archives of material to put in, and some Fiends ads and all sorts of stuff. I would also, I personally go through the Free Talk Live and find the ones without Melanie, because her voice is like fingers on a blackboard to me. I just can't stand it. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't listen, so I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, man, way to support your friends. No, I'm kidding. That doesn't support them to listen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So.
The caller's
trying. She make you want to have a cry-in, Michael?
Yeah, she makes me want to have a cry-in. Thanks for bringing it back. All right, so I'm going to send you those links, Jeremy. But, yeah, we're going to talk about cry-in. So what's a cry-in? What happened? Show me on the doll where Cornell touched you. Somebody read this article, please.
Sure. So this comes from, well, originally came from the Cornell Daily Sun, because it starts off with that they reported that students hosted a cry-in on the quad Wednesday in the wake of the presidential election results. So this is obviously from, you know, the day after the election, but this was like from Cornell, you know, a really fine establishment of education, apparently.
In America, if not the world. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's one of the most Ivy League of the Ivy League.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right.
I'd say Harvard is, Harvard and Yale are probably the only two that are more respected in America.
Yeah. It continues, quote, "I'm terrified, honestly," one student told the campus newspaper as she took part in the event. Quote, "It's saying that people are really given into fear-mongering. They're willing to put people down based on their identity just so that they would feel vindicated that they would be getting rid of, quote, crooked Hillary."
Who's talking about whom here?
Yeah, exactly.
No, tell me. I don't know. I lost the plot.
Oh, she was talking about the student. Yeah, she was a female. Yeah, was talking about the people who voted for Trump were just voting to do so, like they cared about other people's identity and just didn't want to have anything to do with them, and just so Hillary stayed out of office.
Yeah, and what's the cry-in? We're missing the point here. What's the cry-in? Well, tell me.
You told me to read the article. I was reading the article.
Get to it.
I'll skip ahead a bit.
Thanks, Braden. Thanks for
doing. Yeah, so the article says, as the event took place, students, roughly 20 or so, according to the Sun,
instead of doing what I tell you to do.
You got it, man.
Go ahead.
Roughly 20 or so, according to the Sun's video, wrote their reactions and emotions on poster boards with colored markers or chalk on the ground. A chilly day in the on the Ithaca campus. At one point, the demonstrators huddled together as what appeared to be a barista brought them warm drinks. So it sounds like, Michael, they got together and they wrote down their feels and basically sipped some coffee on the quad.
And was it called a cry-in?
I'll be honest, I don't see anywhere in the article where they actually cry, but it's called a cry-in. It's
called a cry-in? Like they put up posters saying cry-in at 3 o'clock or something?
Yeah, I would imagine so, yes.
Wow.
Several adults, most likely professors, stood around the group. The event appeared to take on the atmosphere of a funeral wake. Oh, I like the tone of this article as well. Okay, so reading on, it says, "I'd say the results are heartbreaking and such a slap in the face of so many of the population that make up America," an older lady who appeared to be a professor told the Sun. Quote, "I think it's also an indication that there are many, many people who are also suffering and feel they haven't been heard." So we'll leave it there for now. Meow. Meow. I'm going to go have a cry-in myself, I think.
Yeah.
Work. At the market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week, we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
We have dudes. We have Team Phil and two other dudes coming in as soon as they've ordered their equipment. And we added Seamus. So we added four dudes and we added one chick who wants to go by Velishka. I call her V. I don't think she's using her real name on here. Phil knows her real name. Hmm. Phil used to get her mail. Long story.
I did.
But,
yes.
But,
That girl
about this.
I don't think even girl. Once did she check the mail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. No, she did once.
Okay. So she's not entirely flaky, just a little flaky. Is that what you're saying?
Well, she right, so. I'm not even kidding here. She actually didn't know where the mailbox was for most of the time.
How did she pay her bills and live life and things like that?
I got her mail.
Wow. Amazing. Cool. Good to know. All right. So I'm looking for one more female, any age over 18. Looking for a male age like, I don't know, 15 to 21. I don't want any more old dudes, but if there's actually 15 to 18, like if you're younger than Nick Hazelton, then I could call Nick old man. So if you're like, you know, 18 and a half or less, and if you're under 18, have parents' permission, then we'll add you.
That's the reason you have a radio show, so you can make fun of your other hosts by that hiring new ones.
That's the only reason. Who cares about liberty? I just want to make fun of my hosts. Yeah, my hosts. I own them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was implied with the my.
Yeah, it is.
I ran into Nick on Facebook. I was talking about how I was thinking of starting a festival out here for the Pacific Northwest, and he said he was going to bring yak burgers.
He should bring yaks, man.
Right.
That's what I think. All right, so we're going to talk about this thing. What is this thing, Jeremy? It's a movie we saw. It's an amazing movie. It's an amazing movie. I'm kind of upset at Liberty, at my friends, at Facebeef, because at everyone on Facebeef that I know, because about every 4 months, probably, I get done like binge watching whatever six shows I've been watching. And then I go, hey, what movie or TV show should I like? And I list some criteria. And nobody has ever suggested this movie. And I said it was the greatest movie ever made. It's called Hardcore Henry. It's not really the greatest movie ever made, but it's
that might be a stretch.
Yeah.
It was trippy was the way I described it. But
even better than Casablanca.
Well, Casablanca is not the greatest movie ever. I don't even like that movie. I've watched it. Do any of you actually watch that movie and like it?
I've never even seen it.
Most of the movies
that people say are great, like Casablanca and Citizen Kane. Yeah. I was going to say the War of the Worlds guy movie. That's not War of the Worlds. Yeah. Those two movies are not good movies. They don't pull me in. They don't suck me in, you know. But
well, the reason why Citizen Kane is supposed to be the best movie ever is because
it broke ground.
It essentially made
the language of cinema.
It created a lot of the very core things that are required for good movies.
You know, it didn't create all of them, though. You know what created a lot of them was, like, a movie in the 1890s, 95 or something, 96. It was an Edison production called The Great Train Robbery. There've been other films by the same name since then, and a Sex Pistols record, but it's like a 5 or 6 minute film, silent film, that's got everything, you know, that's in modern movies. It's got establishing shots, medium shots, close-up shots, not over-the-shoulder shots. Citizen Kane invented that. But it's got action, a beginning, a middle, an end, a moral, you know, action, fear, redemption, all in like 7 minutes. I mean, because really, like a lot of the language of film is the language of storytelling, and that's been around for thousands of years and hasn't changed. So, I can't believe that. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, didn't Citizen Kane create a lot of the rules, like the 180 degree rule?
Yeah, which is entirely broken every third scene of the movie we're talking about. Probably, I never really liked that rule. I don't like that as a rule. Basically, the 180 rule is that you don't film from one direction, action, and then film it from the other direction in a way that makes it confusing as to what's happening. Although that can be broken for a reason if you want to create confusion in a kind of psychedelic way. You know, so I don't believe, like, yeah. Like, you know, they teach you things in film school and, you know, film school, film books, that tell you, like, you can't, that there are rules. See, I don't see that as a rule. I see that as a guideline or a suggestion. Yeah.
Right.
You know, I wrote a book on filmmaking, Phil and Braden, that sold 100,000 copies. Paperback book.
Was it $30 films?
Yeah, $30 film school.
Yeah, there it is.
Yep. Came out in, first one came out in like 2001. Second edition came out in 2006. And it's now, I finally stopped making royalty checks on it. This last year was the first year I didn't get a W-2 for, or what, a 1040, whatever, for that. What's the thing for, I forget the thing for
1099.
But 1099, yep. And, yep, the architect knows.
Why do I know that?
Do you get royalties on the houses you design?
I got lots of projects going all the time, and some of them are 1099 type projects.
Oh, cool. I want to hear more about that at some point. So, this was the first year I made no royalties on it. And I checked the price of it on Amazon the other day. It's selling for like 5 cents plus $1.99 shipping. And it's like a 500-page book. So, software stuff in it is way out of date. But, you know, the first 100 pages and the last 100 pages are great. Even if you're not making film, even if you're making movies, or, you know, if you're making music or anything creative where you don't have a lot of money and you got to get stuff done, it basically like tells you how to run a cult, like I'm doing with the Fiends, and get everything done for free. Yeah,
sweet.
So, there,
nice.
Yeah. All right, so
I could use that.
This Hardcore Harry, Hardcore Harvey,
Henry,
Hardcore Harry, made by this director. Anybody know the director's name? Can you look it up? I don't even remember it, but he's my new favorite director. I can't remember his name, but
it's very Russian, I recall.
Yeah, his name's Ilya, I-L-Y-A, I think is his first name.
Ilya.
He, what's his last name? Something Russian.
Nice. I was
getting it right now. I don't know if I can pronounce it.
I can't say it.
He's in a band. He's singing, I think he's singer.
Yeah, Nice Schuler, yeah.
Nice Schuler. I think he's the singer in a band. I don't know if he's a singer or not, but I'm assuming he's the singer. He's in a band called Biting Elbows.
They're described as some kind of punk band, right? Yeah.
It's kind of punk.
Described in one of the articles of that
thrash.
Way.
Thrash. They called him thrash in one of the articles. I don't hear that at all, but no, it's very polished compared to thrash. Yeah. But I like his band a bit, but I love his filmmaking. And the first thing he did was he made this. He made a video for one of his songs, a song called MF, can't say it on radio, but it's an amazing video, and it led to him having a film career. And he basically made this movie on very little money and then fundraised to do the special effects, which several people have done so far. And it's a really brilliant way to do it, because it's the part, you know, now you can make a movie for very little money, but you know, getting the effects done well so they don't look cheesy is what costs the money. Mm-hmm. So I guess we're going to get into some spoiler alerts here, so I'll give one. So, I think I figured out why his band's called Biting Elbows. Anybody figured out yet?
No.
I did not.
Well, I said it to my wife, and she hadn't seen the film, and I said, why would you call a band Biting Elbows? And she thought for a second and said, well, it's the one thing you can't do to yourself. And then I was like, most of his filmmaking is done entirely in first person. So I think it's a reference to first person narrative of, you know, the person that's the whole movie is seeing the whole movie can't do one thing. He can do everything except that. So I think it's some weird like Russian joke on that.
I don't know.
And it sounds better than licking elbow.
Tickling elbow. Massaging elbow. Well, I know that some people really don't like to have their people who like being touched a lot often don't like being touched on their elbows. Cats don't like their feet being touched generally.
That's why you're supposed to play with their paws when they're little, just like you do with a puppy.
Oh, that's another thing. I think this guy is a cat fan because everything I've seen by him, I've only seen three things. I've seen a rock video, a movie, and then that weird movie that's all filmed backwards of like the circus accidents. And there's cats in all of them. But there's cats that look like they're in danger but end up not getting hurt. Basically, he kills everyone except the kitty cats in his movies. There was a scene in Hardcore Henry, where Henry is hiding out in some building trying to find, you know, get away from or get to someone that he's trying to do something to, and people are trying to kill him. And you see him looking around a corner, and you see a kitten or a cat run down the hall, and you see some goon in a suit chasing it. And there's some really funny stuff, but the cat gets away. There's some really funny stuff in the credits too. Like in the end credits, that guy's called Anti-Cat Guard. the guy who gets blown up when he's walking his dog in that square where they knock over all the art. And then the dog is like walking the guy's arm separate from his body. Basically, the guy in the credits is called One-Armed Dog Walker.
Nice.
Pretty funny. Yeah, the credits are great.
I can kind of appreciate the cat thing, because when I was a kid, I used to really like cats, and I would always lament at how in all of the you'd have this slapstick scene, and it was always the cat that got it. Yeah, there'd be some big crash.
Sound effect too, not the cat, but you don't see it. Actually, that's one of those sound effects that's been reused since the 40s, and they probably threw a cat against a wall 10 times to do it in the 40s. But
yeah, like the cowboy scream that.
Like the scream that's in everything. There's videos about that. What's it called? Yeah. Is there a name for that scream?
Oh, I can't remember.
No idea.
Yeah, but in the circus movie, like almost all the humans that you see the face of are dead or covered with blood. But the tiger is fine. The tiger's covered with blood because he's eating the people. But the tiger doesn't get hurt.
As it should be.
And then in that rock video, MF, like there's some kittens. While the two guys are fighting, there's some kittens, and it looks like the guys are going to fall on the kittens, little baby kittens, and the kittens are fine. They never get hurt. So.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
I missed that Pauly Shore.
Yeah, see, now that's real filmmaking. That's some of the greatest American filmmaking. No, it's not. I like lowbrow stuff a lot more, and I like those old greats. Yeah. Beast, get off my desk.
Yeah, come on, that's Biodome. How can you go wrong?
You know, here goes a bingo. My band Bomb almost had a song in Biodome. I'm glad we didn't, because I would have gotten a bunch of money if we did, and I probably would have kept doing heroin until it killed me instead of getting sober. But it was strongly considered, and then we just had to try to put that swastika on the cover of the record to protest that they were putting the
parental advisory.
Parental advisory. Thanks, man. I'm trying.
I used to know the drummer of Midnight Bombers. I don't know if you've heard of them.
No.
It was a punk band in San Francisco a few years ago. I don't remember. I think probably about a decade ago.
In the year 2001.
Did you really stop your heart there?
I wouldn't know. I'm really like my knowledge of music ends before that. So of new music. So I don't know anybody in bands. But yeah, man. So we're talking about this movie. What's the movie?
Hardcore Henry.
Hardcore Harry. You know,
you want it to be Hardcore Harry
because it's Selby reference.
Yeah. Well, that's what I googled when I didn't remember it.
Sounds right. It sounds more right, but maybe in
Russian. It does.
You know, I think that he used that title though because it would like you wouldn't need to translate it. I think anybody in most languages would be able to understand that phrase.
Yeah.
All right. So. I got some questions about it. Like, what was Aiken's goal? The bad guy? I'm not really clear.
What was his goal? How did he get his power? That was my...
How did he get his power? Yeah, that was...
That was my big question.
Like, I don't like... Maybe this is why no one recommended it to me, because in my list of demands, when I say this is what I like in movies and films, or movies and TV, one of the things is no magic. You know, but... I looked past that and just quoted Arthur C. Clarke in my head that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. So I let it pass. Like, you know, the movie is listed as sci-fi adventure. That's the genre. So
yeah,
it was science, not magic.
And there was like science-y kind of stuff that's not really necessarily how things work. So yeah, I guess to stretch it that way, I can see what you're saying. Okay.
But I don't know what Aiken's goal was. So if he's making
that too,
and he has, you know, and he actually stole something from the movie Moon, that thing of like every clone or every soldier in this case, like has the memory of the same woman as the wife on Earth or the wife that he's worked trying to save for, you know, because soldiers will only fight for, you know, they won't fight for money. They won't fight for country. They're really fighting, they say, for like the guy next to them in the foxhole and for the people back home. So they make this imaginary wife for each one of them. And then the wife escapes with him and then like turns him against Aiken. So what's Aiken's goal? I don't get it. It's not really explained.
Yeah, I didn't really understand. Yeah, he seemed very angry about the whole project that created Henry, I guess, because there was, you know, or something about he wanted, or that's how he got his army was through that project, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, it was kind of very, I don't know.
Well,
like
it seemed like every soldier had the same backstory and training. Like they come to consciousness with bionic additions after horrible mutilation of their body.
Yeah, they were basically like on life support or worse. Like they were basically going to be they were basically dead, and they, you know, kind of like the RoboCop thing. They brought him back to life through this.
This wife putting this brass ring on their finger and saying, yes. "My husband," but like. Is she turning? Are they turning all of them against Aiken? I don't understand that. But also, too, he has the same MacGuffin in every film. Like, kind of like Tarantino had, like, the glowing box, the glowing briefcase. There's the thing that's the battery in the chest that he rips out of the chest to recharge himself during the end. That thing is in all three of the videos I saw.
Yeah, it was I saw two of their music videos, and it was in both of them.
It travels space, though.
Yes.
Like, leaps you around the world in the rock video.
But in both of them, because I saw two of their rock videos.
I think this is more like Memento than Pulp Fiction, though. I don't think he's that much like Tarantino. There's no dialogue. Tarantino's all dialogue. It's just bad guys in suits.